Hello and welcome to another edition of Northern Nutter. We today are talking about the day villages. A lot of people probably won't know what that is, but I'm going to hand you over to Peter now, who'll explain in great detail.
Hello, not in too great a detail, just giving you an overview. Go back to after the war, the mine coal mining industry across the UK was nationalised, and this, cut a long story short, meant a lot of the smaller pits were closed. And areas of coal mining, the local authorities had to decide what to do with the labour force as the coal mines closed. So in Durham, they produced what was called a really interesting read, called the 1951 County Durham Development Plan, which was planning for the future for the whole of the county. And one of the things they did within the plan was to categorise all the villages in Durham. And in those days, County Durham extended up to Gateshead, virtually, or beyond Gateshead. I think Gateshead was part of County Durham as well.
It was. Yeah. Can I just warn readers, if they decide to read that action plan, which it is a fascinating read, but there's some very derogatory comments made about the people of Durham by the people of the local authority, so don't be too offended by it. It was a long time ago.
there were lots of papers produced from academics of the time, which were quite derogatory about the people in the villages around here, but they were been dismissed. They weren't nice, and they weren't very helpful. But anyway, this plan sent out that they would categorise all the villages in County Durham, and there was 341 of them, into four categories, and that was from A to D. Category A villages, or towns that were included, were expected to grow economically. So they decided that the lower categories, i.e. Category D, which is where the villages took their name from, would either have any maintenance removed from them. They wouldn't bother, as the houses fell into dilapidation, they wouldn't bother with them. Or in some cases, they decided to take the villages out completely. In other words, demolish them. And again, in some cases, some would be partially demolished, with the residents moved to other places that were bigger, like New Naycliffe and Ferry Hill and other places, bigger places, New Naycliffe, as I said. And this policy went on for 20 years, longer than 20 years, till it was abandoned in 1977. This caused a lot of friction in the community, for obvious reasons. The communities they wanted to remove had been there for nearly 200 years. Families were sort of clustered around these mining communities.
They were very close-knit,
yeah,
mining
were very
communities, which ultimately meant families would have been split, because there was a lot of people who would have got married and moved in,
yep,
down the street, and they were no longer in that little tight-knit knot.
And in these villages, there were obviously the amenities that people needed. There were the Methodist chapels, there were churches, there were community centres or miners' welfare centres, and institutes, which were, again, things where dances were held and people used to recreation, wasn't it?
When receptions were always at the institutes, they would have games and all sorts of stuff like that. Our institute, when I grew up, it was a real hub of the community, and I'm surmising there would be exactly the same here.
There were villages, I think in total three villages were completely demolished, and others were reduced in size. There was an organised defiance of these protests, which brought about the end of the policy. Three villages were demolished. One of those was a village called Hamsteels. That was in West Durham, in just above the Dearness Valley. It was a small community that grew up around the mine.
It was. There were 64 houses in Hamsteels village.
Right, yeah.
And now all that's left of Hamsteels village is a field and an old pit heap, which is covered in trees, and you can't see that either.
Well, it's nothing. There's nothing there at all. I mean, the reason there's nothing there at all is because when they demolished all the houses, they didn't do what they did in other places, which was to grow trees. In this case, they set it up for an open cast mining contract, which meant any houses, anything there was just gone, and all you know, as Heather said, all you see is an empty field.
We've recently caught up with one of those former residents,
yeah.
Lynn, who now doesn't live too far away. She's now is settled in the neighbouring village, but she tells us all about her time living and the devastation it brought upon her family when they had to move. Over to you, Lynn.
I was born in Hamsteels, which was a good village of 64 houses.
Yeah, and that was round the, was it round the colliery,
was it? Yeah, yeah, it was based round the colliery, yeah. There were three streets, South Street, High Street and Office Street. I lived in Office Street. I was born there. I was there till I was married.
When did you first hear about that they were going to perhaps demolish the houses or get rid of them?
It was when I was a child, because I can remember we always had a bonfire on the green at the bottom, and I can remember us as children dancing around the bonfire, shouting, "Gunpowder Plot will never be forgot as long as old Hamsteels stays on the spot." And I was little then, so we're talking about the
60s. Yeah.
So it's kind of basically all your life it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Can you remember what your parents' reaction was to that news that was going to go?
Angry.
Really?
Angry, yeah. My family had always lived in Hamsteels. My grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, my parents had always lived in Hamsteels. So, yeah, angry that that was happening.
Obviously, that would be jobs as well as the housing that went as well, or did it all? Did the pits?
The pits had gone. Pits had gone. It didn't affect the pits. They'd gone.
Yeah. But it was a community, wasn't it?
It was a community, yes. It was a lovely community.
Everybody knew everybody. I'm from a big community, and we were much bigger. I mean, Ashton was the biggest mining village in the world. We were huge, but we still knew everybody. It was,
absolutely.
Even to this day, you look and you say, oh, yeah, so-and-so's cousin's married to such and such as a, everybody knew everybody. So it must have been really, really close.
It was. Everyone looked after each other. Everyone. Yeah. It was a very close-knit community. It was just so sad. But, I mean, the reasons they used, the stairs in our house went behind the fire.
Right. Yeah.
So it was obviously, they classed it as a hazard. The only person in the village who got market value for the house was my uncle, who had the village shop. Everyone else, I think my parents got £200.
So your houses, they weren't public houses or council houses?
They were privately owned. They were all privately owned.
Well, a lot of them belong to the coal authority, so the Ashwin and one's water houses, they belong to...
No, I think in Hamsteels they were all privately owned by that point.
That's even a bigger disaster, isn't it? I mean, fair enough, they may have had fire hazards, if that was what they called it. Surely it could have been modernised
I mean, they did need a lot of work, but it was the whole, the way it was done, the whole community, the way it was just category D, and that was it.
You work hard to buy a property, then it's yours, and you expect it to stay there. I don't blame your parents for being angry. You haven't been angry as well,
haven't you? Well, my parents were more or less the last people to move out, so we were surrounded by empty houses. Which wasn't very pleasant.
That wouldn't be ideal either.
It was horrible. Yeah. No.
Was it really vandalism?
No. It was just empty houses. No, I couldn't say there was vandalism.
Well, you wouldn't have the neighbours either. There'd be nobody to knock
on. There was no one there.
And it's amazing how many times you do, even if it's just the chat over the fence, especially a mum. She'll have missed having her friends around.
Yeah. But it wasn't, I mean, the rats moved in and, the empty houses, and it was just. But my parents were doing a house up, so they couldn't move until they'd finished renovating the house they'd bought.
But it's still, I still think it's a massive. And then to come along and throw fire at it by open casting the sites afterwards, do you think that was in the offing all along?
I would have thought so. I would have thought that was the plan. But at that point, there were so many Category D villages in the county.
They were everywhere.
There were 341 villages categorised. That was all the counts of Europe. There was about 120. They were classified
category D.
Not many were actually demolished or partially demolished. Only a few.
It was just razed to the ground.
Yeah,
there's no sign of it. Sign of it whatsoever.
Oh, there's a wall. This looks like somebody's calling.
I don't think that was the village was further in. halfway down Clifford Bank, where you can see where the road went in, and it was quite a long road into the village. Yeah. There was from.
But you can still get through there. It's a footpath.
Yes, it's a footpath. Yeah. So from there was a field, and then our gardens, and then our house. So the houses. Yeah, no, the houses were well in.
The houses sort of quite far down, nearly where the allotments are then. Was that far down?
No.
Not quite as far down,
sir. No, they were right in the middle. Yeah. It was quite a walk down to where the allotments are. And that's where we used to have to catch the bus. You walk down to the main road to Eshwinning was where we caught the bus, or walk up into Quebec. And there was only a shop. There was only one shop.
Was that just a shop? Was that not?
In High Street.
In High Street.
High Street, halfway along High Street.
You can still see on old maps the roads. I think if anyone yet can see the Office Street, is it?
Office Street.
Yeah, that's there. Well, I can't find them on the map.
All right, so Office Street, when you went into the village, you turned left and Office Street ran up the bank. South Street went straight along at the bottom and High Street went straight along at the top. So it was sort of a three-sided village. Yeah.
Can you remember the actual day you moved out? The actual?
No, because I got married and moved before my parents moved.
Right.
So I went before them. Not too long, maybe just a year.
You didn't have a car though, did you?
I moved to Waterhouses at that point.
Did you?
Yes. we moved to Waterhouses at that point.
Because you're about 300 yards away. It's such a fab area.
Which bit of Waterhouses? Which whereabouts?
Station Street.
Station Street. Yeah. You weren't part of that.
No. Just Station Street.
So you didn't go to the next D village that got demolished.
No.
I think Waterhouses was demolished of that part of Waterhouses.
The school was still there. We left in 1978. The school was still there then because our eldest son went to the school. So we came back in 1978. So yeah, the school was there then. No.
It's interesting. We had a walk through there the other day, and the school wall's still there.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't take the playground.
When you look at the maps, they're all around the yard and stuff.
They're still there.
It's a bad thing for why they left that wall.
No.
And then there's another wall further, just to the. If you're facing it, there's another wall to the left of that, which is really quite an old wall. I'd love to know what that is.
Oh, I've got no idea. I was only there for a short time.
It's one of these you think, well, why they left that thing? What was it? It's one of those sort of mad things.
Yeah.
Are you still in touch with anybody who used to live there?
Oh, yeah, there's still people, round about, my next-door neighbour lives in Churchview, who was my next-door neighbour in the village. A lot of people have gone now, but I'm still in touch with a chap who moved down south, and I still, we're friends on Facebook, I still correspond with him, and he sends me photos of when we're kids in the village, and I sent him photos of when we're kids in the village.
I was just going to ask you that, have you got any photographs of the houses and how they look before?
If you look in the Tomares, it's not Tomares, Mr. Rippon's book, original.
Yeah,
the original, there's some photos of the village. Tomares was more Cornsa Colliery. I can't remember.
I've seen a few on DNS Valley Memories.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're quite
heavy. I've got, it's mainly just photographs of, us in our garden or us, it's not actually of the village.
Yeah. But that's what families do, isn't it? Yeah. Sit on the doorstep and get your photos.
But there are quite a few, if you look in the books that people have written, local people have written, there's quite a few photos of Pam Steele's.
I think
that's
No, I think
it's fantastic.
I think it's wonderful that Lynn's about to say everything that you're saying and you are still in touch with people because, they didn't quite get their way of split the community entirely, did they?
No.
It's still nice to think that 50 years on, you're still talking to people who were there.
Absolutely.
What do you think? I mean, you must see it because anybody doesn't know the area. It's just a field. There's nothing. Nobody will know that there.
No, absolutely not. Nothing.
But it's not just changed that much either. I mean, that's gone. There's just a field there that you wouldn't know there was houses there had you never known. But you also wouldn't realise that there was overhead cables and things going down.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the photos of here, you think, blimey, that's Quebec, you know. Uh-huh, and, yeah. and there's,
Yes, yeah, there was the big tram line that went down Marley's houses to the pits over there.
Yeah.
There's so much gone.
Must have run that way as well. I'm not sure. It's literally just down there. It's crazy. I mean,
do the younger members of your family know about them? Can you tell them stories about them?
Yes, and my father was, they did an article in The Guardian at one point. Yeah, that's my dad.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's my dad. The man standing with his foot on the stile in the black and white, that's my dad. I've got it all on. You know, I have the newspaper cutting, but I've also got it, you know, popping bits on here, there, and everywhere.
Oh,
yeah, that's my dad on the Guardian one.
You'll have to join our Facebook page and put some on there. People would love to see that all over the podcast.
Uh-huh.
They really would.
Yeah.
You know, anything you feel like sharing, then please do, because one of the things we're doing as a future project is taking photographs of now and photographs of then and trying to actually make a community project of, you know, this is what it looks like today, but that's what it looks like then.
Yeah, our house looks exactly the same.
I'm almost jealous of your house.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a photograph.
I'm quite openly saying I'm quite jealous of your house. I'm looked at it there.
I've got a photograph of Tony's great granddad in 1907 outside our house, and it looks, apart from windows.
I think somebody posted one on there, didn't on Facebook a while back of your house, and it was like your blog.
Probably me. I keep them on DNS Valley memories.
But it looks exactly the same, apart from the windows.
Yeah, it does.
Thank you, Lynn. That was an incredibly interesting little about somewhere that we think is so familiar, somewhere we walk past every day and we can see it, but we really don't know anything about the area at all, do we?
No, it's just an empty field. And we know, if you didn't know from people like Lynn or from documents, you wouldn't know anything existed there, let alone an entire village.
This is what fascinates me about all kinds of history and archaeology, is the fact we don't actually know till we'd start digging.
No. We start digging, you can see if your local landscape is, you know, just step out your door and archaeology is all around you.
It is, yeah. But it's the stories that fascinate me.
Yeah.
I really enjoy talking to people like Lynn. If you would like to get involved with our podcast and share some of your memories about where you live, please get in touch, because we'd love to share.
Oh, yeah.
We'd love to share them with everybody, and our listeners would love to hear them.
Of course.
So that would be a fantastic way of doing it. Today's podcast was brought to you by Heather Lawrence and
Peter Lawrence.
And our special guest, Lynn Ridley. Thank you very much.